Hello, I'm Tom Moan, and today I'm beginning an old and yet continuing adventure. In 1968, my family and I returned to Tulsa, where I became the general manager of KORU-FM and Oral Roberts, radio announcer. At that time, from 1968 until March of 71, I had a daily program entitled Good Morning, Brother Pilgrim. And now, after 50 years, I'm resurrecting it with a new title, Good Morning, Fellow Pilgrim. And a pilgrim is a person who's on a journey, and in this case, a journey of the kingdom of God on earth as Jesus prayed. So I hope you'll join me as we look into the past, the present, and the future.
This is the Good Morning, Fellow Pilgrim podcast with Tom Moan for May 13th, 2019.
Well, once again, good morning, fellow pilgrims. Thank you for joining me on this journey of the kingdom now and the kingdom to come. We live in the tension between the two, and in that tension, the Holy Spirit wishes to teach us and lead us deeper into the person of the Lord Jesus and his kingdom. You and I are here to see the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. I've mentioned it many times. It's the unshakable kingdom and the unchanging person. Last time we were together, I spent some time reading from Eugene Peterson's preface or introduction to the Corinthian letter, first letter. I want to start the second one reading a little of his introduction to the second Corinthian letter, and this is again from Eugene Peterson's The Message. I just so appreciate what he writes. For the second Corinthians introduction, just a portion of what he wrote. The Corinthian Christians gave their founding pastor, Paul, more trouble than all his other churches put together. No sooner did Paul get one problem straightened out in Corinth than three more appeared. For anyone operating under the naive presumption that joining a Christian church is a good way to meet all the best people and cultivate smooth social relations, a reading of Paul's Corinthian correspondence is the prescribed cure. But however much trouble the Corinthians were to each other and to Paul, they proved to be a cornucopia of blessings to us, for they triggered some of Paul's most profound and vigorous writing. The provocation for Paul's second letter to the Corinthians in Corinth was an attack on his leadership. In his first letter, though he wrote most kindly and sympathetically, he didn't mince words. He wrote with the confident authority of a pastor who understands the ways God's salvation works and the kind of community that comes into being as a result. At least some of what he wrote to them was hard to hear and hard to take, so they bucked his authority, accused him of inconsistencies, impugned his motives, questioned his credentials. They didn't agree with what he had written. They simply denied his right to tell them what to do. And so Paul was forced to defend his leadership. After mopping up a few details left over from the first letter, he confronted the challenge, and in the process probed the very nature of leadership in a community of believers. Because leadership is necessarily an exercise of authority, it easily shifts into an exercise of power. But the minute it does that, it begins to inflict damage on both the leader and the led. Paul, studying Jesus, had learned a kind of leadership in which he managed to stay out of the way so that the others could deal with God without having to go through him. All who are called to exercise leadership in whatever capacity, parent, coach, pastor, president, teacher, manager, can be grateful to Paul for this letter and to the Corinthians for provoking it. I read that because it's something I want to pick out of the first chapter of 2 Corinthians. Paul is defending his apostleship, the fact of his leadership, and I've mentioned many times that there is authority and there is leadership in the body of Christ, but oftentimes it's not become of the Holy Spirit, but become very worldly, a kind of top-downness. I spoke of it in my book when I wrote about the Nicolaitan heresy, which means to conquer, to control the laity. God has never wanted anything like that. But Paul is telling them in Corinth in his second letter that problems come to the Christian life. So I'd like to read from the first chapter now of 2 Corinthians, beginning in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are throughout Achaia. Grace to you, peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us all in our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. For if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective to the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope to you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our suffering, so also you are sharers of our comfort. I think one of the things that I learned being a pastor and just a Christian for many years, not only realizing that Christians go through difficulties and hardship and pain, that there are comforts and there are problems and difficulties, but I also began to learn that there are people who read stories about other people who go through legitimate things and claim them kind of as their own. And that, I suppose, at times can be of some help. But I've found that the best help comes through those who have faced it personally in their lives. It's not a theory. It's not, quote, a teaching. 5 points to this and 5 points to that, or how you can overcome this. It's all theory and knowledge. It's the thing that he began 1 Corinthians with. I didn't come to you preaching the word of God with great wisdom and knowledge, for the world and its wisdom is meaningless. But I preach Christ and him crucified. He's underscoring this now in the second correspondence to Corinth by telling them that they're going to be comforted in their afflictions as they were comforted in theirs. Let me give you an example. I have a very close friend who's gone through alcoholism, many years of it. And one of the things that he said to me that has just been such a blessing, he said, you know, now when I talk to other people about addictions of any sort, doesn't have to be alcohol, it can be food, it can be drugs of other kinds. We know the opioid crisis in our country at this time. He said, the thing that I've really learned, which is so important, is that my experience and my experience of the saving power of God personally in my own life and heart has enabled me now to speak to other people, because I'm not speaking to them theoretically. They can't look at me and say, oh, whatever your name is, wait a minute, you don't know what I'm talking about. You've never experienced this. And I can look him, as he said, right in the eye and say, dear brother, dear sister, I have been where you are. I have sat where you sit. I have felt what you felt. I have experienced what you've experienced. And I'm here to tell you there is a way through and out of it. In the Corinthian correspondence in the first chapter, he says, no problem or temptation has come by you that's not common to man, but with the temptation, God will provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Endurance is only a gift after the fact of having gone through the situation. You don't say, God, I'm in a situation, give me the endurance right now. No, you go through it. And that's what Paul's talking about in this passage about comfort. When he says that in verse 8, in that first chapter of 2 Corinthians, we don't want you unaware, brethren, of our afflictions which came to us in Asia. We were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within us, in order that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raises us from the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us. He on whom we have set our help, and he will yet deliver us. You also help, join in and helping through your prayers, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed through the prayers of many. I want to read later in that 2 Corinthians chapter 11 some of those things that Paul went through from 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to pick it up in verse 24. Five times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure upon me of concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern? If I have to boast, I will boast of what pertains to my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, he who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the ethnarch under Aretas the king was guarding the city of Damascus in order to seize me. And I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped his hands. He's defending his apostleship. He's trying to tell those Corinthians, you need leadership, and God has given me leadership. He says it in another portion in this letter. He says, a lot of people can claim things with you, but I can claim to be your father, for I was there at the beginning. The point of all of this is that Paul is trying to tell the Corinthians that difficulties and hardship are part of the Christian life. I often have real problems when I hear so much of modern-day Christianity kind of preaching a gospel that is only maybe a third of a truth. And it's the one that I've mentioned in several podcasts ago. It's the one where Jesus is talking about false Christs and messiahs. And in the New Living Bible, one of the footnotes said, that false gospel is health and wealth. In other words, God wants all of his children to go first class. They all got to be healthy and wealthy. And if you're not healthy and wealthy, something's wrong with your faith. Now, that does not mean God wants you to be what? Sick and impoverished. Of course not. But just listen to what the Apostle Paul said. Just think again what he's been through, the things that I've read. He said in labor, hardship, nights, hungry, thirsty, without food, cold, and exposure, etc. Paul is saying that difficult things come into the Christian life and that we're not to be surprised. But what we need to learn is that we can, by the Holy Spirit, go through these things and gain a comfort. And speaking of this comfort, I want to go back to some of the verses in Second Letter of Paul to the Corinthians. But I want to read from the Amplified Bible. I like the Amplified because every once in a while I like to go back and find out what other words could the translators have used to describe in detail the comfort that Paul says comes through difficulty and hardship that I've just read about in his letter. So I'm going to pick it up now in the second letter to the Corinthians, first chapter from the Amplified. I'm going to pick it up in verse 3 and read 4 or 5 verses. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of sympathy, pity, and mercies, and the God who is the source of every consolation and comfort and encouragement, who consoles and comforts and encourages us in every trouble, calamity, and affliction, so that we may also be able to console, comfort, and encourage those who are in any kind of trouble or distress with the consolation, comfort, and encouragement with which we ourselves are consoled and comforted, encouraged, and encouraged by God. For just as Christ's own sufferings fall to our lot as they overflow upon his disciples, and we share and experience them abundantly, so through Christ, comfort and consolation and encouragement also shared and experienced abundantly by us. But if we are troubled, afflicted, and distressed, it is for your comfort, consolation, and encouragement, for your salvation. And if we're comforted, consoled, and encouraged, it is for your comfort and consolation and encouragement, which work in you when you patiently endure the same evils, misfortunes, and calamities that we also suffer and undergo. Now, I know that sounds kind of strange to read all of those other words that can be used, but the point is this God of all comfort. Christians sometimes have had this false notion that once they come to Christ, everything is wonderful. And that's why I'm very, very suspicious of some of what I hear today. Of I hear some of these people who say that what God wants for you is perfect health and great wealth, and if you don't have them, there's something the matter with your faith. I just want you to realize, when you realize what Paul's talking about in 2 Corinthians, he's saying, look, there are difficulties in the human life. And as long as you and I are on this earth, the world, the flesh, and the devil come to steal, kill, and destroy. There are battles, there are difficulties that are important that we have to face. But he says, no temptation has come nigh that's not common. And with it, God will give you grace to come through. And then in Hebrews, the author would tell us that it is for discipline we have to endure. And disciplines come through difficult things. But when you come through it, you have real godly, I would call it stuff, to help other brothers and sisters who are troubled and going through difficult things, so that they realize it's not strange. Oftentimes I think I've seen the church come together and all they want to do is say, everything's all right, don't say anything about any problems. I think the church can be a place where we can say, pray for me and pray with me. And you have brothers and sisters who've been comforted themselves and will comfort you. Well, be a blessing, fellow pilgrim. Amen, in Jesus' name.
This podcast is available for free download in iTunes and at moanministriesbookstore.com. Sarah Rahm's album, Days of Rain, is available on iTunes and most streaming platforms.